Today's shir is Masechta Avodah Zarah, Daf Lamed Tes. We will begin on Daf Lamed Ches on the base, three lines from the bottom. The Mishnah, when it had listed things that may not be eaten, but you may have anor from them, were kvashim, of foods that are kept in brine, shadak l'osis b'toycha yayin, that you may put wine into them. For which Chizkiah comments, Amar Chizkiah, lo shanu did this halacha. This halacha only applies ella shedarkun, something that it's common to put into wine. Aval yidua, if it's not something which is only usually put in wine, but it's something that's always put in wine, then the halacha is asur afilu b'hano, then it would be asur b'hano. So Ritva asks a very fundamental question. Why are we so quick to say that it's osur? Why can't we give it to an expert, a kfeila, the Gemara calls that expert, to taste, and let him taste if there is or isn't wine here? Why do we just immediately take such a strict approach? So Ritva answers that something that typically is wine put into it, so then it's not because of the wine that it's osur. It means that Chazal said that this is a food that may not be eaten, that's also b'hano. Even if this specific case that we're talking about, there is no wine in it. Once it's that type of food, the halacha is that it becomes also forever. That's the opinion of the Ritva and the Rashba. However, the opinion of the Rambam actually is that if we were able to give it to taste to a kfeila, and the kfeila is going to tell us that he knows, he could tell that there is no wine here, actually he takes a much more lenient approach, and he says that maybe it would be mutabano. Says the Gemara Mishnah, why is this food any different from the murius that we discussed, the murius, and we said the sharabana hano, even though wine is very commonly put into the murius, we said it's mutar b'hano. Answers the Gemara Hossam, in the Murius, the purpose of putting the wine is only lavuri zuma. It's take away the bad taste of the fish. But it isn't something that the wine is there to give a good taste to. And therefore, hocha, but when we speak about the kvashim that we began our shiur with today, the kvashim are there, the wine there has a much stronger purpose. The purpose of the kvashim is to give a taste, and that's why it's also even bahadnolim tuki tama. Rabbi Yochanan says, "Afilu yidua, even if we know for a fact that there's wine, nami mutter the halacha is that it's mutter bahadnolim." Ask the Gemara, "But maishna mimurius rameya? Why would kvashim be different than murius that rameya said is also bahadnolim? If since it's something that normally wine is put into?" Answers the Gemara, "Hasam." By Murius, Yediyah Mamashai. You eat the sauce of the Murius, and you could tell that it has wine in it. Hachab, but when we talk about kvashim, kvashim are typically brined vegetables. When you eat brined vegetables, you only eat the vegetable. You're not eating it for the sauce. And since you're not eating it for the sauce, therefore, we could be more lenient, and even if there's wine, not make it asur b'hano. We learned in the Mishnah. The Mishnah spoke about tris trufa, a type of a fish, shein by doga, that doesn't have in it that doesn't have a fish, and chilek. Says the Gemara, the Mishnah spoke about a food called chilek. What is chilek? Amar Rav Nachman bar Abba, Amar Rav, zu sultanus. It's a type of a small kosher fish, says the Gemara, name Asura. So if it's a type of a kosher fish, why is it Asur? Says the Gemara, Nesharabuna Oila Oma. Because non-kosher fish get mixed in together with the kosher fish, and it's difficult to tell which is the kosher fish and which is the not kosher fish. And the way the Rishonim explain, because these fish, we'll speak about this more now, shurim, that don't have scales on them right at the beginning. the scales only form later. And since the scale only form later, it's hard to differentiate between the kosher variety and the non-kosher variety. That's one pshat that the Rishonim suggest. Another pshat that Rishonim suggest is that if there's going to be a non-kosher fish mixed in here, the halacha is that a fish is a beria. And the halacha is that something which is a beria never becomes bottled. And since if it's a beria, it never becomes bottled, that's why the halacha takes such a strict approach. However, makes the Noida Behuda the point that this is all, like we just discussed, that they're small, it's hard to identify, separate the kosher fish from the not kosher fish. But if somebody would be able to make that identification, so therefore, he says, actually, the halacha would be that you could separate them, it would be mutter. Tana Baran, Eloi Akshav. So as we said, what happens if a fish doesn't currently have fins or scales? Vosel gadlach zman. But they will actually ultimately form. Kegoin ha-sultanus va-ofitz ha-reza mutter. Because the Torah says, when it speaks about the kosher fish and the non-kosher fish, the Torah says, v'chol ha-she-eloi snapi v'kaskesis lo sechelu. So we learn the word Eloi, Einalov, look at it. And if at any point we will be able to see fins and scales, it's going to be a kosher fish. And on the other hand, says the Gemara, Yeshli Achshav, if it currently has fins and scales, but it's a type of situation for Asid Lahashir, they fall off, B'shosh Olam and Ayam, when they come out of the sea, and we have these type of fish, Akoinus V'Apoinus, Tefasius V'Afaktius V'Atnus, all these fish are mutter. And the reason that their mutter is the same explanation, because the Torah says ayin alof, and as long as the pasuk says kosher ain loy snapi kaskesis b'mayim, even if it just has kaskesis b'snapi b'mayim when it's in the water, that is enough to make it into a kosher fish. Says the Gemara, Achris Rebavua b'Kisri. Rebavua made the following announcement in the city of Kisri. Kirvei dogim, the oil of the fish, v'ubram, fish eggs, nichem kol adam, they can be bought from anybody, even though you can't really tell if they came from a kosher fish or non-kosher fish. Shecheskosum she'en abayim ela plusa. We know that they come from a place called Plusa, or from a place called Asfamya, and in those seas, there are only kosher fish. Ki adam abaya, and the Gemara says we have such a precedent. The Gemara says, Haitzachanta devav nahara. This type of fish from the Vahav Nahara is Sharia. And we don't have to be concerned that mixed in with the Tzachanta is non-kosher fish, because in that place, there were only kosher fish swimming, and therefore we don't have to be concerned. My Tama, says the Mar Ilema, what's the reason that we're so quick to say that this fish is mutter? Ilema shum the Radifa Mayim, there's a very strong current there. The non-kosher fish, kim delas lechut hashedra, doesn't have a spine. Beduchta the redifa mayim, in a place where there's a very strong current, lematzikoi, the fish cannot survive. It says the Gemara, that can't be a compelling argument. We see that these non-kosher fish without the spines do survive in these waters. Ella mishum demalchi mayim. The water in these places is very salty. For Haidak, Tommy, when we speak about the non-kosher fish, Kim Delas Lekalfi, since they don't have scales, but Duchta de Malichimaya, in a place where the water is very salty, Le Matsukai, it can't survive. Because as the Mefarshim explained, it is the scales that protect it from the salt. So the Gemara, but that too is not a good argument. Because of Chazina de Kai, we see that they do survive. Says the Gemara, the Marbet Tina Dag Tame, that water doesn't grow in that water. Says the Gemara, Marvina, Edna the Kashef Chimayim. Now, with that, the way it works is that they opened up water channels, and water goes into these places from Narguzov and Nargamda, which is where non-kosher fish swim, then it's a siri. Amra baya, hai chamra diyama. There's a fish that's called the fish donkey. Shari, you may eat it. Tur diyam, a fish donkey. Tur diyama, a fish axe usser. The simonach, and the way to remember that is by tamei tahar. Tar tame, what's normally tame, a donkey, is tar in the fish variety, and what's normally tar, which is the shore, is tame in the fish, is tame in the fish variety. So Mefarshim ask that we know when we speak about fish, as we're learning, the fish are dependent on the snap of a cascasis. Why is there any question? Just examine them as we're learning. So some cipher answers that both of these fish actually have types of scales, but they're not so easily removed. And what the Gemara is teaching us, says the Chasam Sofer, is that even though both of them have scales that are not easily removed, they're not the exact same, and the scales of the Chamra d'Yama are considered kosher scales, make the fish kosher, whereas the scales of the Chamra, of the Tur d'Yama are not considered kosher sweat sales. The Sefer Divrei Yisrael says that the Gemara, that Rashi says that kosh yesh biyam yesh biyabosha. The Gemara is also teaching us that any type of variety you have in the sea, you have the same on dry land. So the Sefer Divrei Yisrael says that everything, what we learn from here is yam always represents the Yama Talmud. Kol Shiesh Biyam. Everything can be found, every question that we have in life, every situation that we have in life can be found in the Yam. Everything that we have to deal with in the Yabosha, that we have to deal with in this world, we could find in the Yam HaTalmud. Amar Rav Ashi, Shvar Nuna. There's a fish that's called Shvar Nuna Shari. Kadesh Nuna is Aser. The Simonach, Kodesh Lashem. Something that is Kodesh is only for Hashem, it's not for us. Ikadamri, Kvar Nuna. That there's a type of fish that's called Kvar Nuna. That type of fish is Osir. It's Osir. The Simonach, and the way to remember that it's not allowed to be eaten, is just like the Kivri of the Kachavim, Amitame. So too, this fish may not be eaten. Says the Kiva Iklo Ginzik. Rekiva once came to the city of Ginzik. Aisel Kamehu Nuna, they brought in front of him this fish, Davidomi Le Chipusa. It was very similar to a fish that's called Chipusa. Chafya Bidikula, Rabbi Kiva hit that fish, put it into a basket and let it thrash around. Chazi Bei Kalfi, and he saw that scales had fallen off. The Sharye. What happened is that these are scales that aren't that visible. So he had to do this experiment to see if they had scales. Ravashi Ikul Tumadoroyu. Ravashi came to the city of Tumadoyu. Aisla Kamehu Nuna, and again, there was a fish that was brought for him for examination. Davidomi Litzulfucha. This fish looked like the Tzulfucha, which is a non-kosher fish. Again, Nakdil had the Yama. He put it up facing the sun. Chazi David Beit Simchei. And he saw that there were scales. When looking at it facing the sun, he was able to see that there were scales. Visharye, and he said, it's mutter. And I saw that the Mefarshim explained, the Ramban says, the Chiddush is that we would think that scales that are not easily seen should not be considered valid scales. And the Gemara is teaching us that they are. Rav Ashi Ikla Hu Asra, Rav Ashi came to a certain place, they brought him a fish that was very similar to the Shafanuya fish, which is actually a kosher fish. Chafri b'mishkali chavri, he took off the skin by white baskets, a chazabe kalfi, and he saw that it had black scales, v'shari. So the simple pshat is that since the scales are black, when you put it against a white background, so therefore you'll be able to tell that. And the same thing, says the Bach, when you'll have white scales, you should put it against a black background. But the Torah has a different pshat, what they did. The Torah says they would put it into a basket and let them be in the basket, and then they would examine the bottom of the basket. And if they saw that the bottom of the basket had scales, it's a proof that these fish have scale. Rabbi Babachana Ikla La'akri de Agma. Trivile Tzachanta, they brought him the Tzachanta fish, which we've been learning is a kosher fish. Shamla Ugavri de Karale Bati. And he heard an individual who was actually calling this fish the Bati fish. Omar Midaka Karale Bati, the fact that he's calling this fish a Bati fish, Shma Minob, the Dovet Tomei Esbe. There must be something non-kosher here. And therefore, Loyochabine, he didn't eat from it. Lufzafra, in the morning, Ayin Bey, he looked at this fish, Ashkebe Dovet Tomei, and he saw that mixed in with this fish, there were non-kosher fish. And Kari Nafshin, and he said about himself, Leunan Lutzadi Kolovin. And there's a very famous Tosis in Masechta Gittin, Daf Zayin Amud Aleph, that the Gemara often says, Kadosh Baruch Hu protects tzaddikim that they shouldn't do an aveira. So Tosfos says it's not that tzaddikim never do any aveira, but the Gemara means to say when it says that tzaddikim never do aveiras, it means the aveira of eating macholos asuris. The aveira of eating non-kosher food is such a significant sin. Hashem protects tzaddikim from eating non-kosher fish, and this is the proof that here. He was protected, that Rabbi Babachana was protected, that he didn't end up chas v'shalom eating a non-kosher fish. We learned further in the Mishnah that amongst the foods that may not be eaten was a kurt shel chittas. There's a fruit that's called a chiltas fruit, and you're not allowed to eat a piece of that fruit. Ask the Gemara Maitam, and what's the reason? Says the Mishnah, the mafsik leibes sakina, they cut it with a knife that was used for non-kosher food. Says the Gemara of Afgav Damamar, even though the halacha is that noisnam gam mutter, and if the knife wasn't used in the last 24 hours, any blias that are in the knife become pogum, they become foul. Here, agav chort for the chiltasa, because of the special, the sharp taste of the chiltas, any blia that's in the knife gets better. So now the blia in the knife is considered a good tasting blia, and therefore the halacha is that it's asur. So the posh pshat in the Gemara is that the blia that's in the knife, the blia in the knife gets better by you when we use a sharp food. That means even though normally when we use a cold knife on a cold food, it's not a problem. When we're using when we speak with the chiltas knife, some Rishonim learn that the whole issue in the Gemara is that the issue in the Gemara is that there might be some grease left on the knife. But most Rishonim led with the Shulchan Aruch, according to the Rambam, Paskins, that even if we're using a cold, non-kosher knife, that we're also, as we learn in our shurim, typically going to assume that it wasn't used in the last 24 hours, that any blia in it is pogum, and even if it's 100% clean, still the halacha is that because of the sharpness of the schiltas fruit, it makes any blia in the knife taste good. Now, there is a question, is this halacha, that something sharp makes something, that any knife that's used for something sharp makes it a problem, is that only by chiltis or by other sharp vegetables as well? Daruch HaShulchan, for example, says that there's a difference by radishes. He says black or red radishes are very sharp, and they should have the same halacha as chiltas. Whereas white radishes are not so sharp. And since white radishes are not that sharp, they don't have the same halacha of chiltas. This question comes up in many applications. What are we going to say about onions? And what are we going to say about garlic? And typically, we're machla. Says the Gemara, after the Rebbe Levi, the Eva Kanani Rebbe Levi, have a kamaz mechiltasa, sold chiltasa. He knocked nafshe the Rebbe Levi, when Rebbe Levi was nifter, osla kamed Rebbe Yochanan, they came to Rebbe Yochanan, omalei, ma'ala mizmanei, may we continue purchasing from him chiltas. Omalu, after shalchaver, the Eva of a chaver, harei kuchaver. It has the same status of a chaver. Throughout Shas, we know that the status of a chaver is somebody who can be trusted, and therefore he can be continued to be trusted. Rav Huna bar Minyanei saw a tchilti me'anshe the base of Rav Amich Sida. He bought tchelos for his tzitzis from the wife of Rav Amich Sida. Even though when we come to buy tchelos, there's a real concern that how do we know what the status of the tchelos is? It might be an imitation. Oscha made Rav Yosef, and the question came to Rabbi Yosef, can you continue buying from them? Lohava b'yodei. He didn't know the answer. Pogabei Chanan Chaita. He met Chanan Chaita. Amalei Yosef Onyem Enolei. Why? Rabbi Yosef is like a poor person. He doesn't, how should he know the answer? But he says, but did they have the Havdovda? There's once a story. There's Vinet Cheltem Anshe Devisa de Rav Noah. I bought Chelos from the wife of Rav Noah. Achad Rav Chia Bar Abba. And I had a question if I could rely on her. Vosla kamed Ramasna. He says, I asked this question to Ramasna, and Lahav Biyada, he did not know the answer. Vosla kamed Rabbi Yehuda Magruna. So the question was asked to Rabbi Yehuda Magruna. Amalei, nefalt liyad. Now that you need me to answer this question, I can tell you, Hocham Shmuel, and this is what Shmuel says, Eishes Chavar Kechavar. The Eishes Chavar has a din, like the chaver, and if the chaver is trusted, so too his wife, says the Gemara, the Tana Rabbanan, and there's a brisa that supports this approach. The brisa says, "Eishes chaver reik chaver, avda shel chaver, the ev kanani v'chaver reik chaver." Chaver shemes. If we have a situation that the chaver husband died, ishtu ubanav ubnei beisav harein b'chizkasan, the family of the chaver continues to have that status. Until there's a reason not to accept, to be concerned. But similarly, there's a chotzer in which tchelis was always sold. We could trust the chazakah, unless something ruins that chazakah. So of course the question is, when we speak about people, we could understand that a person has a cheskes kashrus. But how do we speak about a chotzer? If there was a store that was assumed to be selling tchelos, why would that continue? So the Ritva is very bothered with this question. So the Ritva says that what the Gemara means to say here is that there are many suppliers of tchelos. Some supply authentic tchelos, and some don't apply authentic tchelos. And what the Gemara means to tell us is that if a store has a chazakah, that it's always buying kosher tchelos, that chazakah, even though it might have different suppliers, there might be other suppliers, we need not be concerned. Tana Rabbanan Ish Samaritz, this is L'chaver. If you have a woman who was previously married to an Amaritz, and now she married a chaver, V'chembita Shel Amaritz, or you have the daughter of an Amaritz, then now Nisus L'chaver, became Avda Shel Amaritz, you have to have a Kanani of an Amaritz, that now was sold to Chavar, Kulan Tzrikan L'chabal Divrichai V'reiris. If we want to accept them, we have to accept upon them, they have to accept upon them to be a Chavar. Aval Eishes Chavar, Nisus L'Amaritz, if an Eishes Chavar now marries, and her husband dies or divorces her, and now she marries an Amaritz, or you have the daughter of a Bita Shalchavar, Shanissus Lamaritz, that now marries an Amaritz, the Ken Avdish Shalchavar, Shanimka Lamaritz, Ain't Srika Lakabal Divri Chaveris Lakatchila. They don't have to take on Chaveris because they already have that status, Divri Ameyim. Yudaimer, Avhain Srika Lakabal Divri Chaveris Lakatchila. They have to take it on themselves. The Ken, Harav Shim Ben Elazar Aimer, Mais Bishachas, there was a story with a certain woman, Shanissus L'chaver, that was married to Chaver, Vaisuk Sheres Tfilin Al Yodai, and she would help him put on the tefillin. Nisus lemuchas, and then she married a muchas. A muchas is a tax collector. And the tax collectors in the time of Chazal were typically not considered honest people because the taxes weren't collected according to a standard tax rate. They made up whatever they want to do. And when somebody paid the tax, they used to get some sort of a band or whatever to show that they paid. And she participated. She used to participate. So some Rishonim, Taisus and Masechet Menachos, suggests that this Gemara teaches us that what is the proper way of doing tefillin shel yad, to not just put them on every day, but to make a new knot every day. That's what the Gemara means when it says, "Kasheris lo tefillin al yadai," she would tie the tefillin, she would make a new knot every day. Most Rishonim disagree, and they say it doesn't mean that she tied a new knot, but rather the way to understand the Gemara is that she put the tefillin on his hand and put the tefillin on his head. Of course, the Mefarshim asked the question that the Gemara teaches us, the Kol Mitzvah She'isha Betura, any mitzvah that a woman is exempt from, any K'sheir Lasa, she can't do that mitzvah. And that's why women who are exempt from wearing tzitzis, women who are exempt from wearing tefillin, may not make tzitzis and may not be the ones to write tefillin. So the question here is, how did this person's wife help him put on the tefillin? So many answers. The simple answer is that she didn't actually put on the tefillin. She just helped him. Another shot that I saw, the Rameyah's opinion actually is that women are chayiv and tefillin, are obligated in tefillin, and this Gemara is going according to Rameyah's opinion. The simplest pshat is that this act wasn't the act of the mitzvah tefillin. Helping somebody help get his tefillin on, that isn't the mitzvah. The mitzvah is to wear tefillin. And just helping somebody is not considered putting on tefillin. And this is a relevant question. If somebody, as our Gemara discusses, a situation where a person can't put on his own tefillin, could his wife or even a non-Jew help him? And according to this Gemara, it's quite obvious that they may. Our Gemara also teaches us that the status of a wife and the status of the husband are the same. So the Sefer Chashukei Chemed has a most interesting question. The question he poses is that we know that the highest level of tzedakah is matan b'seser. To give tzedakah in a way that the person who's receiving the tzedakah does not know from whom he's receiving the tzedakah. And the question that he asks, if somebody wants to do matan b'seser, but he tells his wife what he's doing, is that considered still a situation of matan b'seser? Well, now it's not something that's being done quietly, your wife knows. So he quotes a Gemara, Masechta Ksubis, Dav Sama Zayin on the base, that Bar Okva had a poor person in his neighborhood, that every day he would put a certain amount of money in his door. And one day this poor person wanted to see, who is this benefactor of mine that's putting this money into my door? And that day, Mar Okva was delayed, and his wife joined him. And his wife saw what he did. So we see from here, and he quotes a Meiri, that his wife participated in his act of tzedakah. So he wants to say from here, Zaraya, that is the Ishta Kegufay. And since we say that Ishta Kegufay, it's not considered detracting from Matan B'Seser. He does, however, point out, interestingly enough, that even though we're learning here the concept of Ishta Kegufay, he says it shouldn't be misunderstood. He says that just like you're not allowed to say Lashon Hara to anyone, you're not allowed to say Lashon Hara to your wife either. Amarav, Chavit. Chavit, certain foods, as we're going to see, that are also they may not be transported, only with Chosim Echad. With one seal, it's inadequate. We have to have two seals. But Chambag, Mutter B'Chosim Echad, one seal is enough. So the Gemara identifies what everything is. Chola Basa Yayin Tcheles, that are transported, Asurim B'Chosim Echad, one seal is inadequate. But Chiltis, Murius, Pass in Gvina, Mutar B'Chosim Echad, one seal is sufficient. And of course, the Rishonim try to understand what is the basis for when one seal is enough and when do you need two seals. The Rajba suggests that when we're dealing with a potential Issa Deraisa, you need two seals. When you're dealing with an Issa Derabanan, one seal is enough. Another explanation, Rashi's explanation, is that it depends on expensive. Something that it's worth to cheat, there you need two seals. Where it's not that valuable, one seal is enough. And a third shot that the Rishonim suggests, that there's a difference between something which is inherently usur versus something that's only usur because of a taruvus. But ask the Gemara, pass bread that was sent with a nachri l'may neichishlo, what's the concern? Imashum, a chlufi, if we're concerned that the nachri is going to switch the pass yisro with the pass akum, kriya b'kriya meidi yodei. It's easy to tell the difference between bread. The chiti b'sari, or if you're expecting wheat bread and you get barley bread, also nami meidi yodei. Ika dodi, if they're the same, says the Gemara, kivin dike chosim echad, since there's one seal, l'tarach mazayif. So the way the Rishonim explain this Gemara is that one of the big considerations we need to think about by bread, by anything, is how much will the person who potentially may make a switch going to gain? And if he has what to gain, or significantly what to gain, so then we have to be more machmer. In a case where we don't have to be so concerned, we have room for leniency. So ask the Gemara, my shna gvina, why is cheese one seal enough? The loitarach mazayif, because he's not going to cheat. So if that's the case, a chalav nami loitarach mazayif. Why is there a difference? Says the Gemara, Amar of Kahana, apicholav, indeed, take out milk from the list of things that need two seals, v'ayel chatich estach, shebe simen, and put in instead a piece of fish that only has one simen. Because if it doesn't have a simen, then it's complicated. Ask the Gemara, so that meat and fish are the exact same. So says the Gemara, if meat and fish are the exact same, why do we have to have both of them listed? Says the Gemara, Hainu Basar, isn't it the exact same as meat? Answers the Gemara, indeed, Trey Gavni Basar. They're both two different examples of fish. Of course, the fish that we're talking about is fish that doesn't have the simonim on it, the fins and scales. But if the fish has the simonim, then it would be mutter. V'shmul amar, bayis os b'chaysim echad, bayis needs one seal is insufficient. B'chag mutter b'chaysim echad, b'chag one seal is okay. What does bayis stand for? Bosa yayin tcheles. Hey, there is surim b'chaysim echad, one seal is not enough. Murius chiltas agavino, Mataran b'chaysim echad. Ask the Gemara, l'shmul, Shmuel, that didn't mention fish, shem by menachar hayne basar, v'treigav basar lo yamrinan. Why was fish not mentioned? Because it's the same as meat, and once meat is mentioned, fish does not need to be mentioned. Says the Gemara, Tan rabbanan ein loichin yamach mechag basurya. What does that mean? Lo yayin v'lo murius. The Gemara is going to explain it. We spoke about it earlier. All these things may only be purchased min a mumcha, somebody who has cheskas kashrus. Because in Surya, even though the people in Surya were careful to keep a kosher diet, but the problem with them was they weren't makbid on lefnei iver. And when they weren't makbir and lefnei iver, they didn't have a problem serving somebody something that selling something that they wouldn't eat. And therefore, continues the Gemara, the kulam im this arach etz balabais, but if they're guests at a home, that's kosher mutter. Says the Gemara, Messiah leilir b'shuba levi, dar b'shuba levi, shigar loy balabais, lebeisoy, if a person sent to somebody a gift of food, mutter, my tamam, balabais leshavik hater vachli surah. Person in Surya always eats kosher food. When he sends a gift, he's not in business. He's not selling food. He's sending from what he eats. He sends from what he himself eats. And therefore, for lifnei iver, we have to be concerned that they don't have a problem selling non-kosher food. But eating non-kosher food, they don't do. And that's the kind of food that they'll typically send. We learned that one of the types of food that you're not allowed to eat is melech salgundris. Ask them, my melech salgundris. What exactly is that? Amar Yudom Shmuel, melech shekol sundurei roi me'echlin soy. It's a type of salt that the bakers in Rome would eat, or that they would use. What one pshat is that it was the salt that was used for baking, was the salt that important people would eat. It says the Gemara, Tana Bana Melech Sengadrish Shkoira Asura. If it's black, it's also Levana Mataris, but if it's white, it's Mutter Diver Rameya. Rav Yehuda Omer, just the opposite. Levana Asura Vishchuna Mataris. Rav Yehuda Ben Gamaliel Meshum Rav Chanina Ben Gamaliel Omer, Zuva Zu Asura, both are Asur. Says the Gemara, Amar Abba Bachana, Amar Rav Yechlan. The Divrei Omer, according to the opinion that says Levana Asura, why does he hold that the white variety is Asur? Kivrei Dagim Levenim, Tamei Moravim, but they used to mix into it the fish, the sauce, the fat of the non-kosher fish that was white. The Divrei Omer Mishkiyari Asura, Kivrei Dagim Shkirim, Tamei Moravim, but they used to use the fish sauce of the black fish. The Divrei Omer Zuvazu Asura, Kazevazevazu Moravim, they used both types of fish sauce, the black and the white. Amar Avua Meshum Rav Chanina Ben Gamliel. Zaken Echrayi B'Shkunaseinu. We had a person who lived in our neighborhood, Shoy Machlik Panel, that he used to put into Melech Sadoimus Shuman Chazir Lod. We learned in the Mishnah, Harei Eile Surim, the Mishnah mentioned a number of foods that are Osir, but are Mutaba Hanoah. Harei Eile Surim, Ve'ei Surim Issa Hanoah, says the Gemara Lemuti Mai. What is the Mishnah coming to teach us with this halacha? Says the Malchiski Lemuti Biyadua. In a case, as we started our shir, where we know that the kvoshim always have wine, then the halacha is that the kvoshim are osa b'ano. Or Rabbi Yochanan, who said that kvoshim are mut b'ano, muti gmurius ugvunis besuniki, the murius and the cheese. That we follow the opinion of Rameyer, that Rameyer says that these foods are osur b'hanah. Says the Mishnah, Ve'elu mutar b'chila, these foods may be eaten. Cholov shechova of the chavim, milk that was milked by a nochri, Yisrael re'eyu, with a Jew supervising to make sure that no non-kosher milk was mixed in. So this is the Gemara of Cholov Yisrael. And our Gemara is teaching us that as long as Chol of Yisrael is, the halach is Chol of Yisrael, milk to be eaten has to be supervised, as the Gemara will explain, by a Jew. So the discussion here is the Chasam Sofer says that this is a Gzeres Chazal, and the halach and the Gzeres Chazal remains under all situations. So even in a time where there's no reason to be concerned, there's still halach of Chol of Yisrael. The Chazanish, however, and the Prichadish and the Chazanish take a different approach. And their approach is that Chol of Yisrael there's no issue of Chol of Akum in a place where there's no Chol of where there's no non-kosher. And therefore, since if we live in a time and a place where there's not a concern that the milk is anything but cow's milk, they took a lenient approach. Rav Moshe had a new concept. And Rav Moshe's concept was that there's something called Cholav companies, or is commonly called Cholav Stam. And he says that what that means is that in a time and a place where there's government oversight to make sure that the milk is kosher, to make sure that the milk you drink is only cow's milk, there isn't allowed to be on that type of a farm another type of animal that could give milk. That is a new type of milk. And Rav Moshe takes the approach that when we talk about that type of milk, Chazal did not make a gzeira on that type of milk. And that type of milk is always considered, according to Rav Moshe, one could consider that meat, that milk kosher. The question that comes up is in Eretz Yisrael, where the farms are owned by Jews, what is the status of Chav Yisrael? So the halacha differentiates between, says Rabbi Yoshev, Rabbi Matra Groshlita, the difference if the workers in the farm are Jews or the workers in the farms are non-Jews. If the workers in the farms are Jews, then you have to a monthly visit by a mashgiach is sufficient. If the workers on the farm are non-Jews, Rav Groshlita paskins, you need to have 5 visits a month. Continues the Mishnah v'advash, the honey of a nachri is mutter, v'advdonius, grape clusters, api shemenatfim, even though they are dripping grape juice, ein behem v'shemhech shemachsha. We know that the Torah Hagdoshah teaches us that in order for food to be able to be mekabel tuma, it has to be mukhsh lekabel tuma. How is a food mukhsh lekabel tuma? A food that's mukhsh lekabel tuma is by having it get wet with certain liquids. But the Torah uses the word kiyitain, and it can be pronounced yitain, that you deliberately made it wet. Or yutan means it got wet. Huge difference. If it got wet but you didn't want it to get wet, what would be the halacha? So the halacha tells us as follows. If it's a situation where it got wet and you didn't make it wet but you're satisfied that it got wet, that's enough to make it mukhsh lekabel tuma. And as we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem and the Gemara, that is the discussion that is relevant here. How do we look at this cluster of grapes that got wet? If we have different foods that are brined, that you don't put wine or vinegar in them, and trus, when you have fish, shena trufa, that's not chopped up, so you could see the fish, and you could see it's a kosher fish, and fish sauce that has in it a doga. And there's 2 different pshatim and how to learn tzir shiesh beidoga. Some learn tzir shiesh beidoga means that the dog is a non-kosher fish. But non-kosher fish, that if you have a non-kosher fish swimming there, that's a proof that it's a kosher fish. Others say just the opposite, that it has to have a kosher fish. V'alash shalchitis, the leaves of the chiltis that we've been speaking about, they say gluskos, olives that are put into such a round basket, hamul gol golem, that are already heated, they get hot, and they get soft. And the Gemara is going to explain. The olives that are sent with a nachri are asur. Hachagovim abayim in a slula, grasshoppers that come from a basket, asurim, because the nachrim would put wine on top of the grasshoppers to keep them fresh. Not heptic, but if they come out of the warehouse, matarim. Those are the type of grasshoppers that wine is not put on. V'chein, the same halacha will apply l'truma. If you buy it from a basket, then the halacha is you have to be concerned when you buy fruit from a nachri, when you buy fruit from a kayin, you have to be concerned that he mixed into a truma. and therefore you can't buy it unless you could be confident that there's no truma mixed in, which we as Yisraelim have a chiv misa b'day shemayim ti truma. If we had them in a warehouse, then we're allowed to buy it, and the Gemara will explain what's the basis for the difference. Says the Gemara, Tanina, that our Mishnah says that under certain circumstances we could buy the milk of a Nachri, says the Gemara, Tanina lahad tana rabbanim, that our Mishnah supports what the Braisa says, that the Braisa says, Yoshev Yisrael b'tzad edra shlav k'chavim, a Yisrael could sit next to the animals of a Nachri, v'ayv k'chavim chayil v'loy, and the Nachri does the milking, umeviloy, and the Yisrael could take that milk, v'ayna chayshish, and need not be concerned. So the Gemara delves into this. Hey chidami, exactly what is the case that the Braisa is referring to? If there's no non-kosher animal there, pshita, of course the milk will be mutter, because there's no non-kosher animal there. And the ikatame bedroy, and if there are non-kosher animals there, so that amai, you didn't see the actual milking. So if you didn't see the actual milking, why should you not be concerned that there's non-kosher milk not mixed in to the milk that you're drinking? Says the Gemara, Lo'olam de'ikud dover tamei, there's non-kosher milk. And the case here is, kiki chazalei, if the Jew gets up, he sees the Nachri. The kiyosah, but when he's sitting, lo'i chazalei, he doesn't see the Nachri. So ma'ad tema, and what's the Braisa teaching us? Ma'ad tema, we maybe should be concerned, kiven the yosah lo'i chazalei, since when the Yisrael is sitting, he does not have the ability to see the Nachri. That maybe the Nachri is going to slip in some non-kosher milk. Kamashmal on the Mishnah teaches us, Kim the Kakoi, that if the Yisrael will get up, Chazalei, he'll see the Nachri. Esuse Mirsis, that's enough to cause fear by the Nachri. V'loi Marv Dover, and therefore he's not going to mix in anything that's not kosher. So we see from here that Tashbatz wants to disagree with the Chassam Sofer. He says, from our Gemara, it seems that the entire concern is that is to put fear into the Nachri. So as long as there's a fear that he shouldn't put something not kosher, maybe we should be lenient. Again, another very important point that the Rishonim point out, and the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, you have to make sure that even though you don't have to be there and see the actual milking, the Nachri just has to know you're there, but you also have to have a situation where the vessel into which the milk is being milked from the cow, you have to examine it that it was empty, because maybe the Nachri will bring a vessel that has in it non-kosher milk. And that's why when we have this type of a situation of Chav Yisrael, the Jew doesn't have to be standing or sitting in the actual room where the milking is taking place. But the Jew does have to be there and make sure for Tchilas Chaliva, for the beginning of the milking, to make sure that everything is fine. For Dvash, the Mishnah spoke about Dvash. It says, Imishum Eruvei, are we to be concerned that they're going to mix in non-kosher wine? Says the Gemara, wine, misra, sorry, it just wounds the honey. If the concern is that the honey is heated and that should be considered bishul akum, ask the Gemara, nech kamay shachai. Honey can be eaten raw. And since it can be eaten raw, we learned in our previous shiurim, anything that can be eaten raw is not subject to the halachas of bishul akum. And others say that this is not, it's not dover she'ola shulch malachim. Nobody eats honey plain by the shulch malachim. Imishum gulei of the kachavim. And if we're concerned about the pots that were used to process the honey that they were used previously for non-kosher food, so it says the Gemara, nice time of gamhu umutter. So there's two ways of learning the Gemara. One way of learning the Gemara is that we need not be concerned that these pots were not used in the last 24 hours. Since we need not be concerned that they were used in the last 24 hours, so any blia that's going to come out of the pot is going to be a blia, is going to be a blia that's pogum, and therefore we could be lenient. That's one approach in the Rishonim. The other approach in the Rishonim to this question is that any blia, even if it's not pogum, but the blia, if, let's say you'll have the pot was used for non-kosher meat. The mixture of meat, blia, together with honey will only ruin the honey. And therefore, since it will only ruin the honey, we need not be concerned for that blia. The Mishnah spoke about the duvdonius, abishin maitfais, if you have a cluster of grapes, even though they're dripping wine, emishim hechshem hechshem. For many, asked the Gemara, the Brisa says, aboitz legas. If somebody is cutting grapes, to use them to crush them for wine. Shami Eimer, hukshur. He wants to get the juice out, and that's considered that he wanted the grapes to get wet, and therefore they're considered susceptible to Kabbalah's Tuma. Hulo Eimer, loy hukshur. Vaidalei, but the Gemara says, and we spoke many times in our Shurim about the Yudches Tover, and one of the places that Hillel agreed with Shammai was in this Shaila. Says the Gemara, Hossam, in the case of the Brice that Shammai and Hillel were discussing, Kaboy Lamashka, you want to get the grape juice out. And therefore, that juice is considered juice that you want, and that's why it has the ability to be makshe the grapes for the Kabbalah's Tumah. Hachalai Kaboy Lamashka. Our Mishnah is talking about when you're cutting the grapes to eat the grapes. So you want the grapes to have the juice inside, not outside. Since it's not juice that you want to come out of the grapes, it doesn't make the grapes mukhshla kabbalah's tumah.